John and Lance.
I think we talked about this. The number of old people snorting cocaine now?
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, hour number two. Let's go. 713-780-3776. Texans play tomorrow night against the Chargers.
Love it.
We're officially back tomorrow. Well, Rutledge will start, right?
Yes.
You got to get him some snaps.
Yeah, I think he'll start.
You know, but you're probably not going to have any other starters in?
Oh, I don't know.
You
only have three preseason games. I don't know. I think we'll get some reps for some of the offensive line. I think you need them playing together a little bit. They're also brand new. Only two guys back. You got three new guys out of your five. It'd be nice to get a little continuity. Even if it's just two series, it'd be nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't play them in the first game. Second game, I mean, just get a couple of snaps. I don't want to see anybody. You certainly don't want to see anybody get hurt. This is where guys who are on the back end could possibly make a team, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think this first game is for a lot of that. I just hate preseason games.
Yeah,
I just hate them. Everybody's and this guy made this play, he ain't making the team.
No,
it doesn't matter. It's all fake. It doesn't matter. There's no one cares. It doesn't do anything.
What do you mean it doesn't do anything?
Well, I mean it's I guess guys win jobs, but there are two or three guys that will win jobs. Is the roster not 95% set?
I mean, your number may be a little high, but there's battles for probably four positions realistically.
Yeah, yeah. And nobody's going to win a starting job. There's how many?
Unless that Braden Smith Trent Brown thing is real. But I don't think that's going to happen. Like,
I don't
how can
see
a Texan
them even
sign Braden
playing.
Smith and start Trent Brown and put Braden Smith on the bench? Like, I don't think they have the balls to do that. If Trent's actually better than Braden, which we just have to make the assumption that's going on, because the Texans, I guess, said it themselves that's a real battle that's going on right now. I mean, Trent Brown's also a veteran who has big, long arms and knows how to get his hands on guys and slow people down. And Braden Smith is kind of – his plays come down a little bit. He's missed an average of six games a year for the last 3 years. So there was a reason I thought Braden maybe would be moved to guard. I thought maybe they'd get away from the short arm thing outside at tackle. He played guard his entire career at Auburn. But I still think he could step down there and play. His agent told me he was not ever asked about playing guard, so I don't think that's – that's in the mix for his camp, but it could be. It's something that I can just tell you. Braden Smith would be able to play guard. I don't think that'd be a big deal at all if they needed to. But that would only happen if there's injuries. So I just hope he plays well. Hope he plays well. It's good to have a veteran like Trent Brown behind him. I guess that's favorable.
It's good that they're having this battle, because at some point Braden Smith is going to be hurt. He does get hurt.
Yeah, he gets hurt a lot.
Or Trent Brown, too. I mean,
he's known to be injured as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's good to have two guys that you feel like they're interchangeable.
You notice how we haven't said the name. I'm going to say a name that we haven't said one time in camp. Not once. 0%. Blake Fisher. Blake Fisher's on this team, too. Last year, we talked a lot about him. This year, there's no talk. It would be nice for Blake Fisher. He played better at the end of the year. It'd be nice if Blake Fisher was a solid backup as well, you know. And I'm hoping he is a solid backup. He was a third round pick, Blake, if I remember correctly. No, I'm sorry, second round pick. He was a second round pick by Nick Caserio. It would be nice if Blake Fisher is having a really good camp. He's a guy that I want to watch a lot in preseason, John.
I saw he'll play a lot. I saw an interview with him, and he said, you know, the guy said, flat out asked him, he said, hey, you're not getting any love this camp and whatnot. He goes, hey, I'm here, I'm working. you know, when they call my number, I go out there and I'm trying my best. I want to be a part of this team and blah, blah, blah. He said all the right things. But, yeah, I mean, I think everybody's just like, Blake Fisher is depth at best. Is he, because you got Trent Brown.
But he'll make it. I mean,
yeah, he'll make James, the team because he'll be behind Ursary.
Sam Hagan,
right?
Yeah, he'll be behind Ursary.
You have to, you yeah. Uh-huh. I mean,
he'll make the team. Jake Andrews will make the team unless Evan Brown is going to be the guy. You know what they could do is say we want a guard center, so we'll go Evan Brown over Jake Andrews, who's really a center only. But Fabici, Waiwu is also a center guard, so Jake Andrews actually could be in a little bit of trouble if they only keep, depending on how many they keep.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do want
Jared Patterson is in there too, so yeah. In the mix. So they'll keep 10. They'll keep 10 offensive line. They'll keep. It looks like they'll keep 10 offensive line, 6 wide receivers. The question is going to be: do they go with 4 running backs instead of 5 this year? Are they going to keep Graham Mertz on the roster? These are things that are these are really, yeah, you're right, John. I mean, if you really look at this, is Jared Wayne in a battle with Lewis Bond for the 6 wide receiver spot? You know, is Justin Watson, does he have a shot in there? Who's going to stand out? You know, somebody like Daniel Sabakowicz, the undrafted free agent, is he going to show out in a preseason game and all of a sudden put his name in the mix? There's very specific battles that are going on, but none of them are really, none of them are high level that I can see. I mean, I'm looking for the high level, and you know, I haven't heard Logan Hall's name mentioned much either, who they brought in from Tampa Bay.
But he gave his number to Clowney. That's the only thing, and I saw him walking onto the field yesterday together. Mm-hmm. He just gave it to Clowney without any money. Well, how about that guy? Now that's a team guy, giving up your number for Clowney. That's nice.
He didn't even, like, he hasn't even been with the Texans. Maybe that's why. Maybe he feels like he's not established with the, who knows? Yeah, who knows? Hey, how about this, John? Mario Edwards. Is Mario Edwards a lock to make this team? They kept four defensive tackles last year. You got Sheldon Rankins, Tommy Togiai, who's earned it. Caden McDonald's on there. So you got Mario Edwards, Naquan Jones, and Logan Hall battling for what might be one spot. That's actually a legitimate battle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could keep 5 defensive tackles, I guess, but at what, who you, you know, what position are you not going to keep? Are you only going to have 5 linebackers? Al Shaair, when does EJ Speed make it back? What's the determination?
Next season.
Yeah, that's what I thought. He's out for the year. Why do they have him listed in this?
What about Jake Hansen?
So, Toto.
What about Jake Hansen?
Jake is not season also, is he?
I don't think so.
I think Jake is making it back. Let me see. 28-year-old.
I don't want to worry about. Oh my God, we got to have Jake Hansen.
Well, he's a good special teams player.
I don't need
player.
That in my life.
He's a decent backup. Yeah, Wade Woodhouse is. So you got Wade Woodhouse is going to be a rookie, who's a backup. You'll have Jake Hummel actually got her. Aiden Fisher's a slow backup. I'm not really super excited about him. He's their 7th round pick. Smart guy, hard worker, just slow. So I don't know about him. Marte Mapu will. So Wade Woodhouse, Marte Mapu are both going to be there with To'o, Aziz Al Shaair. I mean, Jamal Hill, is he going to make it again as one of the last linebackers who plays on special teams? I wouldn't count against him. So there's some those are some battles. I'd say defensive tackle, linebacker now because of the injuries. You have some battles there. And then, you know, it looks like I don't think Kayvon Merriweather can make the team as a safety at all. You got Jalen Reed. You got Kamari Ramsey. You got your safeties locked down. Blankenship, Bullock, Ramsey, and Reed. You're not, you know, 3 of those guys are drafted. One of them's a free agent. None of those guys are going away. So the safety position's locked down. Tremont Smith is a special teams player at corner. He's probably going to make it. Jalen Smith is going to make it because he was a 3rd-round pick.
Like so I said, there's 3 to 5 jobs.
Yeah, you probably have Colin Wright versus Elijah Huzzy is going to be a battle, one of the battles. And so the battles are not – now, the defensive tackle rotation and linebacker, those matter because you get on the field. now you're talking about guys who, if you make a team, you could end up playing in a game. So you got to make sure they're at least competent. Because if not, then you need to be looking at the waiver wire on cut down day and maybe add somebody to your team from the waiver
wire. Well, that could happen anyway. Although the Texans are our team the last few drafts and the last few, you know, anytime we start the season, they're not a team that's got, okay, we got holes to fill. They don't have a lot of holes to fill.
No, no, no. They've gotten much better about that. How about Kai Kruger? You had a punter already lose a battle.
Yeah. Yep.
You had Kai Kruger won the battle over Jake. Who are the brothers, the punting brothers?
Stonehouse.
Yeah, the Stonehouses.
Yeah, the Stonehouses. Yep.
One of the Stonehouses wasn't very good, and so they're like, yeah, you already lost this battle.
Mm-hmm.
No, how about you lost a battle? You never even made it to a preseason game, and you're already out. That's how bad you must have been.
Apparently, he was really, really bad. And Kroger wasn't as much better. I think that might be a position when all the cuts come. That may be one job that'll be open. We'll see if Kai Kroger makes his team. I'm not sure that's going to be the case. Apparently he hasn't looked all that great, and so we'll see.
So Jake Hansen's listed as week to week.
Yeah.
So he'll be back at some point.
Do you think even investigating his whereabouts is ignoring his feelings?
Are you trying to say something about his dad, Chris?
Joe Mixon?
Stop asking where Jake Hansen is. He'll be back when he's back.
Do you care about him or just his ability to play football?
Yeah.
Is that it?
I care about his uncle.
It's his uncle's not Chris.
Chris Hansen?
That's not his uncle. Yeah. Stop.
There's a lot of talk about it.
No, there isn't.
Well, there's a documentary.
I'm just following the breadcrumbs here. There's been a lot of talk the last couple days since Monday about Chris Hansen possibly being related to Jake Hansen.
Has not been mentioned once.
I've heard it mentioned on
the
show.
You're the only one that said that.
I heard someone mention it here. I think a caller called and said something
on
the show.
Speaking of you, here's a Usain Bolt. We'll do it on the other side.
I'm not going to do this 2 months. I could be as fast as Usain Bolt.
Well, here he's got something that is actually aimed right at you. It's pointed right at you.
At me?
At you.
Olympic sprinter, one of the great sprinters in history.
He said, Lance, I got this to tell you.
Okay.
That's right. We'll do that on the other side. But right now we're talking about cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. Did I tell you, I told you I was going to play golf, right, yesterday? And I knew it. I'm like, I am prescient. I can see the future. I see things that are going to happen. The thing that I saw yesterday morning before I played golf was that I was going to have some Coors Lights. Right? And while and after I played. I'll be damned if it didn't come true. I mean, I dream it. I see it. It's just so, so real now. It's so real. It happens. It's unbelievable. And here's the deal is I just can't. I know that it might be a habit. It might be just, you know, something I could possibly control, but I can't. There's no control in it. I need me some Coors Lights. When I'm playing golf, when I need to be refreshed, when it's hot out, I need to be chill. And I'm chill with cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. I don't know what you drink, but it's not as refreshing as what I drink if it's not Coors Light. If you want to be refreshed, the world's most refreshing beer, keep Texas chill, Coors Light, baby.
ESPN. 97.5. You're listening to John and Lance. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Chris wanted to ask us why we're not talking about the WNBA draft. And because we don't want drama. No drama in the show. No drama.
My wife asked me today, what's going on? I was reading, you know, Stephanie White, the head coach of the Fever.
Boy, she went off yesterday.
Had to read it. Yeah, she went off on not her fans, but on the just basically on social media and stuff like that.
Well, there were a lot of critics, I think.
Yeah.
Like Linda Cohn came out. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of people that were criticizing her for not having Sophie's back.
Uh-huh. And she talked about she had right after the game, she went there and she didn't. There were some things she didn't see,
right,
and that she saw. But she's never against her players, and that these narratives are being created,
right.
And I just told my wife, and my wife said, "What's going on with this?" And to say what's going on in the WNBA, you can't even. I needed to get to work. I didn't have 45 minutes to explain everything in the WNBA. I just said, it's just dumb. There's drama surrounding everything.
Like,
literally, and it all started, frankly, and it's not her fault, but when Caitlin Clark came in the league. If there was drama before that, I didn't know it. Did you know of any drama? I'm sure there was.
Yeah, I'm sure there are interpersonal relationship drama, but as far as making national news, no.
Yeah, it's making national news now. I mean, no. I'm sure there was drama behind the scenes.
Listen, you talked to Van Chancellor about.
Right.
He said, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It was putting out fires all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
I remember you telling me that was in the 90s.
Yeah.
So, but now it's
and
like.
And they were the champs.
They were the champs.
He said it was.
But drama on a team. But that used to stay behind the scenes. Like, mm-hmm. That never made it public.
Yeah, he never set it up.
He told you. You just outed it. But I told my wife, I said, it's just, there's too much. There's too much for me to tell you right now. I literally have to get to work because this is. The WNBA has issues. There's this issue, then there's that issue, then a hard foul, and then, you know, things that wouldn't be issues in the NBA turn into issues in the WNBA.
Because Linda Cohn and others have said Stephanie White should be fired for defending her mm-hmm. player. Ime Udoka wouldn't come out in some strong defense if his player got hit in the face. Like, well, we soft in this league anyway right now. Big deal anyway.
Yeah. He probably would.
Have they heard Ime on these type of matters? Yeah. What you guys complaining about? That's just a foul. Let's keep it moving. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So... Like, no, she was like, no one, no coach, whatever. Ime's not going to rush out there and say and come to the defense of his players in that regard. Like, hey, that's basketball.
I will say this. I think the Royce White and the Ennis Cantor Freedom thing are ridiculous, and they're certainly not going to be.
Royce was wearing a wig yesterday in the video.
They're not going to be in the league, but it will be interesting. The trans player from France who said, I'm not opposed to coming to the league. It will be interesting to see if they will draft a trans player.
The WNBA has a little bit of leeway here when they can say you're not even in the first division of your own country. How about you make the first division in France first?
Yeah, that's
they have that.
It's going to have to come from within this country.
Yeah, if you're playing in the second division in France, why would we take you?
Well, it'll be. But what is going to be the policy? Are they or behind the scenes? Are they going to say, "Don't listen, don't draft"? Or are they going to say, "Hey, you're up if you want that player, go get her"?
The public policy and private policy could be different. You're
yes,
right.
But that will come out too.
It'll have to come from the challenge will have to be from within the states. It's not going to be a League Two France 30-something year old.
And there'd have to be. First of all, they normally most of the time. Take a player from the college ranks. So what college is going to allow
it? But, you know, it's illegal.
There's only like 10 trans players in all of college sports,
that's what I'm saying. So
it's illegal in a lot of states. It's
controversy, yeah. And there's nothing
there's
going
almost,
on.
No, that's one of the arguments made by people is that the amount of fuss made about this relative to the amount of people it really – like there's no one really challenging right now.
But
it has to be challenged first.
If your daughter has to compete against any of those 10, then you know what? You have
in singing, she could. may have to.
In singing.
Oh. In volleyball.
Oh, my daughter doesn't play volleyball.
Okay,
my business.
Yeah, mine didn't. Frankie played JV soccer for Kincaid. Mm-hmm. And did I tell you the story?
No. I don't feel Frankie is like out there slide tackling people.
Frankie was the least They put Frankie in a game where they were up like 10-0, and they put her in, and they said, if Frankie can score, then we won't have practice tomorrow. And it was and she couldn't.
She couldn't score it.
I mean,
how?
And listen, and the story goes deeper, but.
Couldn't score how? Like what
she
was?
She couldn't score against the girls. That it just was bad. It was just bad.
Oh no!
Anyway, but there was a time where it was. We're watching a game, and we're in the stands, and Frankie's sitting on the bench. She gets up. She goes to the concession stand. She comes back with a cup you know, and she gets in a blanket on the bench.
Right.
And she's sitting there, and the coach comes over, and we're like, oh, okay, Frankie's going to go in the game. It was Manny. Manny was her coach. He goes, hey, Frankie, get in there. And Frankie's like, ah, I'm good.
Good right Scottie here. Pippen, the coach?
She Pippened him.
She goes, nah. He goes, no, Frankie,
I've got
the game. Get in the game. She's like, nah.
No, I knew what you meant.
I got a hot chocolate and a blanket. I'm good right here.
The coach has explained. No, Frankie's like, I'm aware of what you want me to do.
I know what you want.
I just don't want to play.
I know. I know what you're saying.
The game, Frankie. Yeah, I don't want
to
go in.
I'm just here for like the vibes. I want to hang out with the girls and have my hot chocolate blanket. She wants to be on the
I'm here for the postseason.
She wanted to be on the team. She wanted that part of it, but actually going out there. It's
funny. She didn't even want that. I think she had to do it for Jim.
For credit or something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was either team or Jim.
Everybody has to do something there.
That's why I didn't feel like that was a Frankie when you're like, she played soccer. Like, she tried. But you said she was on junior varsity. But she may have just aged into
JV. Well, that's all there was.
Yeah. You aged into it as a junior.
That was the lowest she could go.
Yeah. She feels more girly girl, like maybe not, like, I don't know. She didn't seem soccerish.
Yeah, she wasn't inspired by she won't be inspired by that 99s movie that's coming out about the U.S. women's team from 99. That movie's
no.
going to come out. No.
You could be inspired and not be a good soccer player, though.
Or care. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know that she would care about.
Do you know my son now, Sebastian, goes and plays pickup soccer literally every single day now. He didn't grow up playing any soccer. Mm. He played some FIFA, and he's gotten the bug so much from watching World Cup. And he watched a ton of World Cup. He watched some. We went to Chardon, that French restaurant, and watched France versus who'd they get wiped out by Spain. We watched France Spain, and while he was there, he talked to the chef, and the chef's like, "Hey, you want to run? I got a job for you running food to tables." And Sebastian took him up on it. As a matter of fact, he'll be waking up any second now to go work at a French restaurant running food. But he works at the conservatory downstairs at Birdhouse. His new thing is going and playing pickup. I said, "Where do you play? You don't know how to play. I played FIFA a lot. I know how to play." Like, oh,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, now you know.
Yeah,
well,
you do know how to play. I'm sorry. You played FIFA.
John,
all right. 827 ESPN 97.5 713 780 3776 713 780 3776 Don't go anywhere.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5, 737-803-776. We got callers on the line. They want to get in here.
Let's go.
Let's get Gus in here first. Hey, Gus, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Gus, we didn't offend any of your children on the way. John didn't call any of your kids dumb or anything like that today, did he?
No, yeah, I think you saw my DM, Lance.
No, I didn't, actually.
Right after we dropped off the kids that day, we got back in the car, and if I turn on the radio, John's saying that all the kids in Indiana are stupid.
I did not. I didn't say that per se.
Mm.
That you can.
Okay.
Yeah. Correct. You're right. The people in Indiana aren't smart enough to catch on to your to your high level of
sneaky subtle digs.
You guys are part of the money routine over here, so it makes it a little bit less homesick. You know what I mean? Hey, so I know we're talking about, blowing up the team and all that stuff, and I know the AL is really, really crap this year, but, man, they got the Astros, with the third-best odds to make it to the ALCS and, the fourth-best odds to come out of the ALCS. Is that just, Vegas just kind of looking at numbers and that's it, or what are they looking at?
There's not many choices. I mean, it's Tampa, yeah. New York, Boston, Houston, Chicago.
And the Astros are
ahead of Chicago.
There's five teams with a winning record, Gus, and one of them is the Astros at 61-60.
It's really crappy. It's really terrible.
There is no choice.
Yeah.
So I mean, is that a thing where we'll take it this year and then blow it up? Like, is that maybe the thought? Like, let's just make a run at it because we know it's just really, really anybody, you know, anybody's got a shot this year, and then next year we blow it up. I know that some of the contracts are expiring this year, but like,
I think
phrase "blow it up" is not going to be a thing.
But I don't think he's doing it. Listen, and again, I mean, you got a lame duck GM, you got a lame duck manager. I think that
probably lame duck manager, or you think for sure
he's lame duck. He's in the last year of his contract.
Yeah, I guess there's no difference between him and Dana.
I mean, if you don't have a contract for next year, then you are. I think I think that this has been not a great time for Jim Crane, the Dana Brown and Joe Espada combination is not great. I think that there's a chance that they didn't do anything this trade deadline because he's waiting for the guy that he trusts to make all these moves, and he doesn't have them in place right now. So we'll see. 713-780-3776.
By the way, noted Jeff Leno hater, Dustin, is in. He says, I would have traded Jordan Brown and Pena, then hired ChatGPT to run scouting, signed Jeff Leno. That's what Dustin said.
Yeah. How could you hate Jeff Luneau, the greatest general
manager? He hates Jeff Luneau because he fired all the real scouts.
Oh, the scouts?
Yeah.
Because the scouts were doing such a good job before Luneau got there.
You know, perhaps, Dustin just doesn't like the personality of that Astros front office when they were at power.
He's a Cowboy fan. Why are we listening?
But he's also an Astros fan. He's an Astro fan. You
not
know,
really.
Yeah.
Yes, we talk about
not
Astro
really.
Fan.
He is an Astro fan. You know, really. I mean, it's different, and they didn't win at all. But the Texans under Bill O'Brien, you have deemed them unlikable. Maybe Dustin simply didn't like how they went about their business, the front office for the Astros. And that's
sorry,
why he has
Dustin.
But he's an
get
Astro
get over
fan.
It, Dustin.
He's allowed.
Because of Jeff Luneau, we got the greatest decade of sports ever in Houston.
He's allowed to not like the guys running the team if they're not great people in his eyes. That's all.
Jeff Luneau's not a bad person.
I said in his eyes. I don't know what the issue is, but he has an issue.
You know what?
Well, his issue specifically that they took out, they kept getting rid of human scouts and, you know, behind the scenes.
Some left on their own because they got big jobs.
Yeah, a few. Mike Elias, there was two most notably, but there were some who just, they just got rid of guys who had been there and were part of it. But, I mean, you know, it's the same kind of, I don't know. I don't know how deep it runs. I do think sometime we forget that there was a little
there was some stink on the Astros
beyond
scandal, the cheating stuff, and the front office. People said they weren't treated well.
It was developing and it wasn't great behind the scenes or whatever.
They soft.
here it is. Like, that was, we started hearing that stuff in 19. That was 7 years ago. Like, yeah, I want to get back to having a good minor league system.
Yeah. I don't care how people are treated. I want to win.
Yeah, you did at the time.
At the time, there was some stuff. I remember Allison Footer and Richard Justice weren't.
Well,
you do care. I just gave you the example.
Allison got yelled at by the guy who was by.
You said
the guy who was the right hand man
treated people terribly in that building, and you did care about that.
I didn't care about Bill O'Brien,
but you cared about the people and how he treated them.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien was. Listen, don't put Bill O'Brien in the
I'm not
Jeff Luneau category.
Bill O'Brien would fight you. Like, he would physically confront you.
But the Astros were known, at least alleged, to not treat the people who work for them great up at the top.
So there was that allegation. Maybe some of the people that it was very clicky, and the word toxic was used. I think it was used by Allison, I think, in an article.
Well, it was used by Ryder.
Ben Ryder.
There were different. Yeah.
He, because of that assistant GM that went after Allison Footer for the.
For not wanting the
reliever.
Wife beater.
Yeah, right.
Osuna.
Right. Anyway, you're going to have to get over it, Dustin, because guess what? Get over it. Who's next, Al?
Chris from the Woodlands.
Chris in the Woodlands. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? I was going to talk about trains, but it really wasn't what I was calling for. I misspoke.
Sweet.
Dell, and you may have seen this. Did you see the podcast? It kind of goes to some of the lunacy between men and women's sports. Did you see the podcast where both Brittany Griner and I think A.J. Wilson said that if they played, like if A.J. or Azhar Wilson played Josh Hart one-on-one, she'd win 11-8? and that Brittany said if she played Carl Anthony Towns, she beat him like 10-6. And I, do you guys,
there's
you
no way that was believe, said out loud, I mean, with mouth.
No, it was a dispute between Josh Hart and AJ. They were on a podcast together, and Josh was like, "You would lose," and then AJ was like, "No, I'd win 11-8 against you." Do you guys believe any WNBA player can beat any? Like, let's say we put $1 million. Do you think that actually ever could happen? And then also,
no.
If Houston wants a championship, they'll draft Enos Kanter and Royce White for the Comets, and we'll get some championships here in Houston.
This is not joking around when I say this. If you haven't watched any women's basketball at all and you just use your same old narratives about stuff, like, there are some really talented women right now. It looks way different than it did. If you're working off the late 90s, and I watched the Comets in 2001, there are some women who are really talented. They grew up playing with men on playgrounds, and it looks, their game looks completely different. They shoot the ball way, way better. Way better handles. They also play with a much smaller basketball. So that's never mentioned by anyone, that the ball is smaller, number one, first and foremost. And number two, the size, the physical disadvantage, the explosion disadvantage. I don't think a WNBA player would beat an NBA player.
Yeah, the conversation on a podcast, it's two athletes giving each other whatever. Yeah, I don't care about that. But
Asia Wilson wouldn't put 10,000 on it, I bet.
No. Even with her new lucrative deal.
Brittany Griner wouldn't put 10,000 on it against Carl Anthony Towns. No, 2,000 on it.
They're just talking. And that's what athletes do.
You know what's funny is there wasn't anything on early. I watched some of the Fever Liberty game, and I was like, I am actually watching this. But there was only one reason that I was watching it.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark.
It was Caitlin Clark.
But, you know, Kelsey Mitchell
is really, really good.
She's really, really good. So is Boston. But she's typical. But it's the wing players that are the really skilled, like, impressive ones. And Asia Wilson, too, who's not a wing player. Some of the wing players. Who's the girl with the goggles now and the
blowout?
Olivia
Miles, I think, is what you're
she
talking about.
She can ball.
Yeah, the rookie.
There's an undrafted free agent that's busting like 26, 27 a game that's shooting the lights out of the ball as well.
You guys.
Paige Beckers can play. Like, there's some women who can play. They're not beating NBA players.
No. The $10 million challenge. An eighth grade boys team could beat the whatever WNBA team.
I have not seen
who's
that.
Put that money up. I bet it's going to be some culture war guy.
It's a oh my god! I follow him and I can't. I'm drawing a blank right now.
Clay Travis.
Oh,
there it is.
You're right.
I was right. A culture war guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, who else would be putting up money to watch eighth graders play women's basketball teams?
I don't get the need to, in this case, demean and belittle the women who play in the WNBA.
I understand why it's being done. It serves no real purpose.
Yeah. I get the engagement you're looking for, and that's what it's for. And you go, look, men, superior. Okay.
Did you ever hear what, cool. did you guys, I'm sure you have, I know, John, you've seen this on your timeline, I bet, when Serena Williams was asked on, I don't know if it was David Letterman or Jay Leno or somebody. She was on a talk show. Maybe it was Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Fallon. And she was asked about playing men. She goes, oh, I would lose. I might not score a point. This is Serena Williams in her prime. I'm like, really? They're like, really? He goes, no, they serve so much harder. They cover more ground. And she just laid out a very realistic interpretation of how the game would be played and why she would be at such a disadvantage. And she was under no false pretense, but we don't kill her. We don't talk about women's tennis trying to play men's tennis. And I don't think the WNBA is trying to say they're better than that they could challenge the NBA. I've never heard them say that ever. So it is kind of funny that we get into this this whole culture war thing when the women are just trying to have their own league. They're their own worst enemies, though. I don't care, Clay Travis or whoever posting or saying whatever. Their own drama and their own, like, that stuff is so off-putting in the WNBA. It's oh, my gosh.
I don't,
like, I'm put off by Caitlin Clark thinking everything's a foul in her behavior. But also I was put off by how sometimes the people in the league were treating Caitlin Clark also. Yeah. Like, it's kind of a
double-edged
sword.
Well, her attitude is not any different than how Luka acts, and Luka catches
it.
Luka catches it. I don't, and it's not not something people enjoy, but I do think it's taken to a different level.
Alpi?
Oh, yeah, we
everything's a foul with Alpi.
We talk about Alpi because he's so the offensive player taking issue with how she's refereed. That's across gender. That's just how it is.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see the Seattle owners who went after the girls that were supporting Sophie Cunningham. They went after them at the game and they were yelling at them and whatnot. Are they going to be pro trans players in the WNBA?
We'll see if it happens. Yeah, I mean, I'm still waiting for the challenge.
The player.
You got to remember, it's illegal in a ton of states. So who you're going to have to come up probably from the high school ranks for it to be a legitimate challenge.
And what college team is going to be the first too?
Yeah.
What major? That's how we talk about the WNBA, but the college level would be where it begins.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the first college
and
team that would do
it? It's illegal
in
a lot of the states anyway.
Like
so.
You said, it's like
how are they even going to play?
It's an existential threat for what reason?
Yeah, right.
It's not even on the board right now. It's a thought. It's a thought exercise.
Again,
is what it turns into.
If you go to France, that's the only. No,
if the WNBA expands to France,
right?
You can
pick up the French player.
We'll see. Yeah, but I don't think once again if it's illegal and say how are they going to play? How is that French player going to play in different states where it's illegal?
Yeah, I don't know that it extends to professional leagues.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Illegality. Yeah, you may be right there.
All right, time to talk HRP.
It eats up a lot of talk space for something that's not going to happen.
I mean, my whole timeline.
Your whole timeline turns that. And, you know, I kind of feel, in a way, I feel bad for Sophie Cunningham that she has been co-opted by political stuff. And she even came out the other day and said, why are we not just talking about the game?
Yeah.
Like she, people think she's the one who started, but she's not really. She's asked a question, she answered a question, and then I think she realizes I didn't mean to be the whole talk of our league.
Yeah, and you know, people went after Caitlin Clark for not standing behind Sophie, and she was just very wishy-washy about the whole thing. Hey. You know, Republicans buy shoes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I know what you mean when you say that. It has a very distinct meaning. She's not trying to rock the boat with consumers.
Then why?
And fans.
For who? For
it's
what?
Like Michael
so that
Jordan.
You can ask me that every single
Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Caitlin Clark. Ain't nobody try. They're not trying to rock anybody.
And if Kobe. We go by Jaylen Brown's theory, perhaps we don't want to hear what she has to say anyway, because maybe it's not that enlightened. Or well, no matter what you think, because if Jaylen Brown's correct, hey, the rooms I go into with athletes are not that bright.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he said it's. Not, he said it wasn't a high
Sometime
bar.
Sometimes it is better not to just. Because then when athletes, sometimes they do speak, you're like, hey.
Well, this is the whole summer of.
What's Kyrie talking about
this
again?
This is the whole summer of, hey, we pay a lot of taxes. That's why the millions that we make don't go as far as you
do
think.
Do you guys
We've
know how much taxes, how our money goes? We have what's called taxes.
Oh, my God. You know what we have? We have HRP. That's what we have. We have, and that Chris started this conversation. He texted me, hey, what about the W? Oh, Chris, thanks for that. Trying to ruin our show, okay? That's the only time I can tell you that HRP tried to ruin our business, okay? Was when they wanted us to talk WNBA. Listen, HRP is here to help you, to help your business, to make your business better, to make you the bottom line bigger. The bottom line is the bottom line, okay? Where is it? How much money are you making? Are you feeling like we're doing a really, really good job, but look at all these costs, and they're killing us, and our bottom line is affected by it? Well, HRP can help you with all those costs, with the HR, the payroll, the taxes, the 401k, everything, all of that stuff that costs you money that is not part of your business, HRP takes care of, and they do it better. They just do it better. We love them. You will love them, too. Everybody who comes on this, I mean, every client comes on and gives a testimonial about them. Why? Because they believe in them. You will, too. HRP.net. Let them come and give you a free estimate of what they can do for your business. HRP.net.
ESPN. 97.5.
listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, Lance.
What?
You getting any of that pepperoni pizza in there?
No.
There's a pepperoni pizza in there.
I'm currently having my breakfast.
It is full, untouched.
Orange, pineapple, carrot, apple, beet, ginger, and lemon juice.
I was going to do a cleanse this week, too. And then I decided, I'm going to eat.
Do you know, I got up. I always get excited because at like at 10, whatever, I have my lunch right after the show. And I got up and I was walking out of this office to go to the office to grab something. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just drinking juice today and for the next 3 days.
Well, you're going to be irritable. Mm-hmm. Let's get Sean in here. Sean, what's going on? Sean, you there?
Hey, fellas. Hey, I got two things. So y'all were talking about Bill O'Brien saying how much he's a jerk. But y'all remember that HBO show that he had and he showed his kid?
Oh,
like, was that kind of like trying to like make it he's not that much of a jerk because he has a kid that's disabled? And then the other thing was on Dale's show, I called. They have a sounder at the end that said anything is possible from Kevin Garnett. I called. I said it, and Sean said, nah, that's not one. I do that. So that's all I got.
What
does that mean?
For my show, I talked about it yesterday here, the barrier for entry to win the Listener Appreciation Party tickets is knowing one sounder to end our show. He said anything is possible, which is what Kevin Garnett said in 08. But that's not the sounder. It is this.
We did it!
Which is what Jason Tatum did after they won the title.
To copy Kevin Garnett. Some people Garnett. Believe he copied.
So, he did. So Sean, we just
talked
to.
Well, how's the other one not a sounder?
Because we don't play it on our show. We don't play anything as possible on our show.
How did he know? Oh.
He just thought the one we played.
We did it!
Oh, he was confusing.
He was confused. We told and we explained it to him yesterday, and I have to do it again.
Oh, he tried. Giving him a spot.
He tried, but he was wrong.
Give him a spot.
People are trying to get into this party.
We
know
give it to the people.
They know that they're strippers.
I'm not here to give ticket vultures.
There's no strippers there.
Yeah, there are no strippers. There. I'm not here to give ticket vulture spots.
You had a comment last year.
Just give Sean. Just
no.
What?
No.
Del's
you do what you
that
want.
Bring him as your plus
no,
one.
No, I'm not.
Del.
You do what you want on this show.
We did it!
By the way, we do have a pair or a spot to give away here. You plus one. If you want to do that here, you can. But on my show, simple barrier of entry.
All right. Here's one. I'll do it right now. Here it is. We're taking the first call who can get this. 713-780-3776. What is at the corner of Westheimer and Boston, Houston?
And if you know that, you're in.
Yep, you're in. 713-780-3776.
This should not be hard.
776. Is that the corner of what?
Don't stop.
It means. Yep. They don't have one of these.
Well, there's a few things at the corner.
Oh, look, all the lights lit up. It's impossible not to know. It's also Allen Road in Dallas.
Yes, right. It's at
one block east of the tollway.
It's one block east of the tollway.
What is one block east of the tollway in Dallas?
Yes.
On Allen Road.
That's... It's impossible
you know
to get that song
is?
Out
you know
of your head.
You know what this is, John? And this is old school listeners know this. Trailer, wheel, and frame. This is like trailer, wheel, and frame.
Yeah.
All
trailer,
over again.
Wheel,
although
and
we didn't
frame.
Produce this. Chance didn't produce this song. That's the only difference. Is that whoever did this song, it's now iconic.
Oh, my God.
1-877 cars for kids. Mm-hmm. It's in that the pantheon, the Mount Rushmore of songs.
Yep.
1-877 cars for kids. Okay, the answer obviously somebody's going to get it.
So when I was a kid in Chicago, there was a carpet place that was Hudson 32700. And I still to this day know that number because Hudson 32700.
Yeah, because it did its job. There was something that used to be Empire, like Empire. What was that one? There was a commercial here.
It's Empire.
Yeah, I just remember Empire. Or what about this? Safe Light Repair. Safe Light Replace. Also known as Eyelids for kids.
You co-opted it, certainly.
Yeah, you did.
So we have our winner. Nathan will be joining us, plus whoever he decides to bring.
How did he get it? It was such a hard
one. He knew Collector's Firearms, so he's in.
It was Collector's Firearms?
Yeah, that's at the corner of Westheimer and Boston Houston, off Allen Road in Dallas, one block east of the toll.
Collector's Firearms. So he's in. And Lexi just told me they're also going to get, we're giving away tickets today on social. So be looking out on Instagram for your chance.
Our old friends Sam and Abigail are coming.
On the gram.
Yes.
They're going to get ready together at one of their places. And they're going
to
come and make an appearance.
Why do they need to get ready together?
I don't know. It's girl stuff.
Okay.
And they're going to make an appearance as well. So our old friends, Lexi will be there. We have people winning spots and whatnot.
Art just happened to ask that question.
You know, I've never met Art.
Neither
we've got
have
one
I.
smart aleck.
Art.
And right, sometimes Art, he's very, very funny. Sometimes he actually adds real stuff to the show as well that we use.
No, we're going to give him a spot. Art, let's give him a spot in the listener appreciation.
Is he willing to reveal himself?
Will he? I don't think so.
So, Art, if you John is saying you're in. So if you want in, just let me know, and we'll set you up. But that means you actually have to give real information.
Oh, yeah, one block. Wait. Oh, yeah, it is. It's Alpha Road, right?
If you say so.
Alpha Road. Yeah, it's Alpha Road. You're right. Like Alpha Road in Dallas.
It's
one block east of the tollway. I just know it's one block east of the tollway.
Click.
R-R-O-F.
Alpha That's Road. That's right.
Who's the other caller, Joe?
Well, we do have Gary.
Gary. Let's get Gary in here. Hey, Gary.
What's up, guys? I want to get back to the Astros. I don't know what Jim Crane's plan is, but I think if any of us are being realistic, like the actual contention, like World Series championship contention run, it's over. Like it probably was over when we lost to the Rangers and the freaking Rangers won the World Series. So it wasn't over then. It was over when we like got beat by, in a wild card round. So I know it would hurt. I would hate it. But, I mean, Yordan could get us a lot. You know, there's Jeremy Pena, Hunter Brown. I don't see the point of, like, kind of being this mid-tier team that's, like, basically 500. We're not, like, a contender. And it would suck. But I think that this summer will be winter will be a perfect time to, like, not have, like, a fire sale. But we need a reset. Like, barely making the playoffs or not making the playoffs. What does that do for us? So... I know this may be unpopular, but I think like sometimes the unpopular thing to do is the right thing, and we should get a bunch of prospects and try to look towards the future.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on that team, too. The Yordan one is a really tough sell, though, when he's this good. He also brings the most, you know, the most value. But Jeremy Pena should be a no-brainer to me. He's in the same category as Kyle Tucker. You got a choice. Either you're going to get a legitimate prospects back, or you get nothing but a draft pick. Those are your choices. Because he ain't staying. He's team get to the market and test the market, and a young power hitting shortstop with good size. And also, let's face it, he's got kind of face of the franchise qualities too. I don't know how much that plays into it, but that's a dude who goes on commercials and. He's likable. You know, he's a good-looking, likable kid who goes out in the public. The general public of whatever city he's in is going to really like Jeremy Pena. There's a lot to like about Jeremy Pena. Has MLB pedigree, you know, bloodlines. There's a lot to like about him.
And you think about it as
World Series MVP?
Yeah. World Series MVP as a rookie?
Yeah, you think about it as simply, oh, you're trading Pena for prospects. But who's to say you don't acquire those prospects to trade those players for a good major league
manager, yeah, you
that
can
you have
do
more,
the same
that
thing,
you have more team control over.
It's just commodities.
You can
like,
find
think of them
way.
Like coins.
Yeah.
You're collecting coins that you can use to buy more stamina or vitality or whatever games you're, you know, whatever Dungeons and Dragons or NBA 2K or whatever you think of it. You're adding commodities. And your job is to flip commodity. At the end of the day, that's all the jobs are for Dana Brown and Nick Caserio. Collect the best commodities. And those commodities are used to create a product, or you're able to move those commodities and find the best value for those commodities so that you bring in other commodities. That's all. You're a commodities dealer is what you're doing, and you're building a roster slash a portfolio with free agency and with the draft. And that's your job. And some guys, you know, Daryl Morey was at one point really good at that. He understood how to take 75 cents and make 90 cents out of it. And then at some point, he just completely fell off the earth. Like, I don't know what happened to Daryl Morey. His moves started making no sense at all. They were the moves of some, I don't know. They didn't make any analytical sense to me at all. And I'm a numbers guy. Everyone knows that about me.
Everyone knows that.
You said that quite a bit about yourself.
Yeah, but you know the numbers that you always miss?
What?
The break numbers.
You know what numbers you always miss?
Go on.
Oh, the sprinter.
That's a good
You didn't
comeback.
Tell us the sprinter how he was yelling at me.
Oh, that's right.
You didn't tell him how he was yelling at me about something.
When we come back, Usain Bolt had this to say to Lance. Don't go anywhere.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.